This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
IGN GameScoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. This is Mitch Dyer.
Hi.
This is Justin Davis.
Hello.
That's Brian Altano.
Yo.
I've been in Tokyo for 2 weeks.
2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Mitch was there for a good part of the time with me. We went for the Tokyo Game Show.
I've heard of that.
It's the biggest video game convention in, probably not in Asia anymore. There's that show in Korea now that Clements is going to.
G-Star?
Yeah. That's probably the biggest one now in Asia. But Tokyo Game Show has been going on for a long time. It takes place in Makuhari, actually not in Tokyo.
Not in Tokyo.
This is your first time going there, Mitch.
Ever in Japan.
So first of all, what was your impression of the Tokyo Game Show?
The Tokyo Game Show was weird, because it was a bunch of stuff that I don't care about. It was a bunch of games that I'm like, I don't know what this is. Professor Layton seems pretty cool with Phoenix Wright, and Monster Hunters, I don't know. It's a bunch of games that I'm like completely unfamiliar with. I'm not a huge JRPG fan, there's a lot of those. So I was like totally out of my element, but it was really cool just to see like this whole other world of gaming that I personally just am not a part of.
Yeah, so there's obviously a lot of Japanese games that will never be released over here.
Yeah, a lot.
But plus, that show has changed so much just over the past few years. I wrote an article on IGN, I don't know if you guys saw this, but there were something like three times as many iOS games as any console game.
Yeah, that was a really telling article. I was sitting here going like, oh man, maybe there is like a limit to all the fun we're having here.
Right?
There were two Wii U games and 30 PSP games.
Right.
30 PSP games!
Yeah, the PSP is 8 years old.
It's going strong over there.
When we would travel around Tokyo, I'd see people playing the old school PSP more than I saw the Vita.
Or the 3DS too, right?
Yeah.
I saw kids playing the 3DS. That was it though.
What phones are they using over there? Are they using
iPhone.
Are there a lot of people using iPhones?
iPhone 5 was released while we were there. We went by an Apple store that day. There was a line, stretching down the street for the iPhone. And pretty much every young person I saw out and about in Tokyo had an iPhone.
That's interesting because that's different than how it used to be. The iPhone was behind in Asia for a long time. Yeah, and they didn't want to get on board, and they still had their Japanese feature phones. Mm-hmm. And so
when the iPhone was released here, smartphones had been a thing in Japan for years.
For a long time,
For a long, long time. They'd been playing games on their phones for a long time.
Yep.
And now Japan has adopted the iPhone as their smartphone of choice.
Hmm.
It was great too, because Damon and I arrived and we made a game. We were like, oh, I wonder what phones they use in this wacky foreign country. Let's count how many iPhones. They're everywhere. We just lost the game because it's iPhones everywhere.
It's like San Francisco.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, part of the thing with mobile phones in Japan and mobile gaming in general is that obviously some people drive, but most people commute by train.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And this is common to us in San Francisco. We all, I think all four of us take the train into work, or maybe you scoot into work
sometimes. I ride my scooter.
But like in most of the United States, people don't commute by train. It's not that common.
People. Well, it's not even an option.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so that's something, that's sort of the cultural disconnect that a lot of people have between, you know, North America and Japan. Like mobile gaming is huge in Japan and handheld gaming is huge in Japan because everyone
Look at
had,
Gree. I mean, massive.
Yeah. And every
Gree had the biggest booth at TGS.
It was absurd.
Yeah. Bigger than Sony's booth by like a few meters.
They had a huge booth at E3 too.
And most people don't even know what that company is.
You should watch our video.
Yes.
So yeah, I mean, people have a lot more downtime in Japan to do mobile gaming, and you know, people's apartments are very small, so that's why, you know, sometimes console gaming or things like Kinect or even the Wii, to a certain extent, aren't quite as successful.
Two Wii games at the show. A new console that's being released in 2 months. There were two games at the show.
The Wii,
so is that Nintendo's fault? Because I know they historically kind of pull away.
Nintendo
from,
wasn't even at the show.
Right. They don't even go. Absent.
They used to do Space World.
But still, like, this is no third parties are making Wii games?
Sure, and I mean, if there were two games, I don't think it's like a Nintendo restricting access or anything. Like, mm-hmm. You know, these guys can bring their Dragon Quest, but you can't bring Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, there's never ever, no Nintendo console has ever had like overwhelming third-party support, ever. Like, everyone buys Nintendo consoles for Nintendo games.
Sure.
And there are exceptions, like there are lots and lots of great DS games I bought from third parties, but generally speaking, you know, Nintendo boxes are for their own software.
Sure.
And, you know, if they have really good third-party games, that's always been kind of a bonus.
I'd say that's what the majority of people buy them for, too.
Yeah.
We go in there knowing, and every time they're like, oh, there's going to be so much third-party support, we're like, that's a lie, but thanks. You know, we'll play Mario and Zelda, and then you'll leave us alone for 5 years like you always do.
That's true. I mean, a lot of people complain, like, oh, my Wii's collecting dust. I haven't played it in months or even years. But, like, I loved Mario Galaxy 1 and 2. I love Zelda. You know, I love Wii Sports. And all that stuff was, I don't know if that's worth the $200 or $250 bucks a console was.
My Wii has been an ActRaiser machine for 5 years.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
No.
It's definitely worth the $250 bucks
totally.
To play ActRaiser in 2012. There was a Nintendo ad running on the trains constantly, but it was for the new Art Academy?
Yeah.
It was for the new one for 3DS.
メロン描くぜ。
まずはしっかりと形を捉えましょう。
丁寧に描くぜ。
基本の色はベタッと塗ります。
ワイルドに塗るぜ。
ツヤは軽く叩くように。
ここがうまいんだぜ。
メロンの完成です。
できたぜ。ああ、高級感があるぜ。
絵をうまく描くにはコツがあります。任天堂 3DS 新絵心教室。
これでどうだ。切り分けてやったぜ。
It was so weird too. Like they just cast this guy who like is this macho burly
it's a tough
like
guy. He's
almost
like a
construction
dude.
Worker or something. Like, yeah, I don't know what he's doing, but he's like, I'm gonna draw a cantaloupe.
I kind of like that they took my entire 4 years of art school experience in New York and put it on a little cart for $30.
Yes.
It's probably you'll probably learn more than you than I did too.
Yeah, you
should do that with other people's college degrees.
Yeah. So the impression I got was that Japan is still playing a lot of games, but they're just not playing very many console games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just like I know, moving about the city, we weren't seeing any advertisements for new games coming out, like for PlayStation 3. Certainly not for Xbox. Nobody, you know, that
the
system.
Only Xbox thing I saw was we went into a like a big department store of some kind, and there was this massive Xbox kiosk, and there were two Xboxes, and it was running an Xbox ad, and it was like Halo 4 coming soon, and dead center on the kiosk in the middle, at the like the bottom middle was PlayStation 3, $200. It's like really okay. All right, I get it.
It's a tough sell.
The Tokyo Game Show goes over 4 days, and the first 2 days are only open to like business people. And it was like it wasn't very crowded in there.
It was nice.
I didn't feel a lot of energy on the show floor because there wasn't a lot of like new hot stuff. But then for the public days, they broke an attendance record. So people are still going to that show and playing all these mobile games, I guess. They're like, oh, I got to play the new puzzle game from Gree. Konami had that game Dragon Collector.
Yeah.
It's a game called Dragon Collector, or maybe Dragon Collection.
I saw that here in San Francisco.
And so that was huge there, and they just announced they're bringing it over here. Yep. So I don't know. We'll see what kind of game that is.
Konami also has a big social gaming, Facebook gaming division. They have a Major League Baseball game on Facebook now.
Do they have a Star Wars one coming too? I saw an ad, like, as I walked into the convention center, I looked at Konami, and there's like a Star Wars collection sign. And I was like, oh, what is this? And it vanished by the time I got over there, and there was nothing else there.
You imagined it. I almost wonder if I hallucinated.
It. Yeah.
It was a mirage. I saw your video for the 3DS XL Circle Pad Pro.
Yeah, which it's so big.
Because
like, so the 3DS XL is big,
yeah.
Right? And then you add that on there, like, it's huge.
It's a yacht.
Yeah.
It's you might as well bring like a toy boat on
yeah,
the train.
Yeah, if your plane crashes, you can use that as a flotation
yeah.
device.
It's ridiculous. And I think only like 3 or 4 games support the thing anyway, so. Yeah.
Did you see all the comments on that video?
No, were they mad at you?
No, they were just it was just about the girl. Every comment was just about the girl that was holding
Was it one of those things where it was like strapped to a lady?
Yeah,
it was,
yeah.
The worst. They did that at E3 one year.
Yeah.
Nintendo did.
That's really gross.
So that was Tokyo Game Show. Yep. It's a very interesting show to cover these days.
Do you think people in Japan, like our own Caleb Lawson at IGN, mm-hmm. is notorious for loving Japanese games, Japanese action games? Mm-hmm. He loved, you know, a lot of the games that
Vanquish.
Yeah,
loves Dragon Platinum Song, games, so like Max Anarchy.
Yeah. So are people that like first-person shooters in Japan? Like, if you're super pumped about Halo,
so there was the Medal of Honor booth, and it was just vacant the entire time. There was not a soul.
Interesting to note, Sega publishes Electronic Arts games in Japan. So yeah. Medal of Honor, Need for Speed. All that stuff was being published by Sega. I thought that was
really?
Interesting. Yeah.
That's really weird.
But there was
That's
a lot
why they
of.
Thrived there, I guess.
Yeah, I had no idea.
I know. I did see kind of a push for Black Ops 2. Like, I think there's a small group of people who actually play that game
That's
in Japan.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying. I know they're not very popular, right. But if you are an FPS fan in Japan, are people going to give you a hard time? Like Vanquish is not that great of a game, in my opinion. But
I know a lot of people disagree with you.
I'm saying, depending on what your taste is, some people love it.
It's taking all my energy not to be. Really sad at you right now.
You like Vanquish? Are you one of those guys?
Not as extreme as Caleb, but I really like Vanquish.
Enough about this game's bullshit.
Yeah.
Tell me about the fun, cool, crazy nighttime activities
so
that you
we
saw.
We also did a lot
That's
of
what
that.
I really care about.
We also did a lot of that too. So it's this thing in Tokyo where there's these certain districts with really small bars, like packed into these tight little alleyways. It's like the bar is as big as this sitting area. And they
wow.
seat like 4 or 5 people.
There's just like a bar in front of us, like this table, and then like the bartender.
And then there'll be rows and rows of these bars, and you can just wander in there. And it almost seems like these are people's homes, where they're turn their front room into a bar and they're making some money
off of
that.
Well, one of them absolutely was.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, so
like you can see their beds and
in
the back?
No, so we go to this place. We're just wandering around, trying to find a great place. And Craig Baradon, one of the video producers here at IGN, goes upstairs, like, I think this is a bar. And he goes up and he asks, hey, can we get drinks and food here? And they're like, yeah, come on in. So he comes back down and gets us, and we go upstairs, and we sit down at the bar, and we realize, like, this lady just got back from buying groceries. It's just, like, groceries all over her, like, her bar. We look in the back, and there's, like, a table and, like, maybe a bed. And it was really uncomfortable.
The bar was just stacked with like with all these different bowls
fish,
of food that she was preparing.
Lettuce,
the food, and she was like, yeah, sure. But I think it was a little early for her. Like, she was getting ready to open up. She was like, sure, sit here. And then she gave us beers. And then she just started like handing us food. And it was like this chicken stuff.
Yeah. It was like ice cold chicken. And I was so afraid of it.
So it's really weird and awkward. And then the night before that, or sometime earlier that week, we had a really awkward experience in one of those bars. Because they figure like there's these tiny little bars. There's just room for the bartender and then maybe 4 or 5 people max.
Yeah.
So it could go either way, right? It could be either awkward or you could have this really amazing, friendly experience. The first one we had was really
awful.
Awkward.
Yeah.
Like, she was not thrilled that these gaijin were like in her bar at all. She was like, she gave us our beer and then she was just like,
yeah.
There were conversations about movies because she had like movie posters all over the bar and we were trying to talk to her about that and she was just not having it at all.
So there we were just like sitting there. It was like this, like 4 of us in her bar just like.
It was terrible.
And Zipkin, the producer of the show, was like, he knows a lot of Japanese. He was trying to make small talk with her, and she would like answer a question, and then
that's
like yes, no answers.
We did find out her favorite movies were Fargo, The Big Lebowski, and 3 Men and a Little Baby.
3 Men and a Baby.
What? And then we found out Mitch has never seen 3 Men and a Little Baby
or heard of.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
Didn't know who Steve Guttenberg was.
Wow, you young little whippersnapper. That's like, I mean. So that's not his. That's not his finest film moment. I don't think that's
what, Police Academy or Short Circuit.
Police Academy.
Okay,
hands down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Anyway,
those are really white movies, by the way. For Fargo, like, aren't you losing something in the translation if you're watching Fargo in like Japanese?
With the are they doing a weird Japanese version of that accent?
Yeah, a Japanese version of the Minnesota accent.
I would love to see that.
We need to find Fargo and watch it in Japanese.
We do need to watch it translated for sure. But then we had a really great experience at one of those small bars in Shinjuku. There's a whole district of them called Golden Gai. Gai is G-A-I. And then we just wandered into one randomly, and the bartender, it was, you know, tiny bar. The bartender looked like Johnny Depp.
He looked a lot like Johnny Depp.
He was the Asian Johnny Depp.
Are you sure it wasn't Johnny Depp?
No,
we can't be sure. We can never be sure. He's a man of a thousand faces, Justin.
That's true.
Researching a role. Uh-huh. But he was, like, very nice and quiet, and he didn't know a lot of English, but he was, like, he was very hospitable. Yeah.
I mean, he was trading music with you, and you guys were, like, trying to figure out music and like communicating
cool
via
music
phone.
And yeah, we were talking. I was asking him about Japanese beers, and then he serves us these little bowls of some sort of food. We didn't know what it was, so he like pulled up a translation app on his iPhone and then was trying to show.
Here's the ingredients in the thing you're eating.
Was there a lot of that of just like dig in,
find out
later what it is?
Oh yeah,
that happens.
That's really scary.
Yeah.
I like Japanese food. So
I would not eat food.
I do too, but I mean, we live in San Francisco where everybody's like hyper allergenic to everything and super specific. I need gluten free, dairy free. I hope this chicken was massaged and told jokes.
It would be really hard for you to travel there if you had like a shellfish allergy.
Sure.
You know, be in big trouble.
Yeah. You just really got to turn it off. There was like.
That's not how it works.
Not the allergy. Your aversion to certain foods. We got like tongue and stomach, and it was like, well, okay, I guess this is happening in my life now.
You just eat that place.
Which I could never eat here.
Tongue was pretty good.
Tongue was great.
Yeah, tongue's good.
And then Caleb ordered the cow's third stomach.
I couldn't do it.
What?
We're grilling our own cow's third stomach at this restaurant. I didn't try that one.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Better than the first and second.
Yeah, obviously.
Does the stomach get better as they go?
Yeah.
Is this like the top shelf stomach?
Maybe they get worse. So it's like, well, let's not go crazy. Let's just get the third stomach.
Well, by the time it's in the third stomach, the food has been digested three times. I don't know if that's better or worse.
Ooh, that's true.
Stomach three.
Isn't it closer to poop then?
Anyway, we're in the Johnny Depp bar, and then the worst human being ever comes into the bar.
I've never seen anybody manhandle Damon in such a way this Scottish man has.
This, like, British guy and the Scottish guy come in, and they're wasted, and the Scottish guy was, like, the stereotype of the loud, obnoxious foreigner, like, drunk guy.
He was awful.
Oh, man.
I hated everything about him.
I feel like we could have gotten in a fight with him at any moment, but Craig Baradon was there, and he's like a really nice Southern boy. And
he was, he was like Southern comfort all
making,
the time.
Yeah, he was like making small talk with this guy, but the rest of us were like not looking at him. We were like drinking our beers. We were making it very obvious that we do not want to socialize with this guy. So eventually they got the hint, and they were like, you know, I can't do a Scottish accent right now.
I bet you can, dude.
Then they left anyway. But we had a good experience at the small Johnny Depp bar.
I enjoyed that thoroughly. And after I left, you stayed and went to a cat cafe.
Yeah.
You stayed in Japan for a while.
Yeah, we stayed in Japan for another week.
Detail me.
My girlfriend flew out and met me there, and then we had hung out in Tokyo for a week, and we had an amazing time. We had a really good time. We went to cat cafe twice.
What?
Cat cafe is a thing in Tokyo. There's multiple ones. We went to one in Shinjuku. It's $10 an hour, and then you go in there, and there's like 50 cats. And you can hang out with them and pet them. You could have a coffee, have a beer.
Okay, is there drinks that you can... Okay.
Are they just climbing all over you?
Yes.
Really?
So
you're like, it's like a people jungle gym for cats?
This is what I said.
Here's the thing. The cats are used to having people come in and gawk at them. They don't really care that you're there at all. But you can buy...
Oh, so they're cats.
You can buy cat treats. And then the cats are very... Then the cats want to be your friend. Yeah. Then the cats... Every cat wants to come over to you. So you have to bribe them to...
Mm-hmm.
See, the thing that jumped out at me about this is I love cats. Damon and I bond over. I love... I'm with you. It took
you
me
caught
a second.
You got there.
I got there. I really like cats a lot, but like that's a big number of cats in one place. So 50 is a lot. That freaks me out.
It's two floors. It's two floors of spaces that are probably a little bit bigger than this studio. So 50 cats divided between that area.
Okay.
But pretty much everywhere you look, there are
cats.
And
there's probably at least 150 in the walls.
Yes.
Just.
And there are people there just hanging out. There is like someone just playing PSP. There's people there just not even interacting with the cats. They're just there.
They just enjoy the presence of the cats.
I think so. They had a Wii set up. Some people were playing Wii. They were playing Smash Brothers. This girl was playing Taiko Drum Master on her iPad.
I love Taiko Drum Master.
And there's
this just
cat
a cat sitting on her shoulder, and cats walking across the iPads and stuff.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was pretty great. And there were like unique or strange types of cats there, like dwarf cats that were just around. Yeah, they're really cute. Cats that I've never seen before.
I wonder where they source the cats from. Do you think they feed
them? That's what I wonder. Well,
people feed them all day.
Yeah, the cats are very well fed, I think.
Do they hide all the cat poop?
Well, there's like litter boxes sort of stashed away, yeah.
So yeah. It hasn't like gone to the cats, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think the cats are very well taken care of. I think these cats have the life.
That was just
people come in there and feed them treats and pet them every day.
I was just going to say, it sounds like those cats are living the life. Like if you, like if a cat pictures cat heaven, like they end up in one of these cat cafes.
Yeah, but I don't know if they're like strays that they find or they rescue cats. I don't know how they source the cats.
I mean, I'm sure if neighborhood alley cats knew about this place, they'd be walking in off the street all the time. Yeah. We're like, we got to go in there. There's free food. They play video games. Taiko Drum Master.
But there's like a booklet there that has profiles of all the cats. Tells you their name.
Yes,
their sex,
bring me this one.
Tells you how
I'd
old
like
they
to,
are.
I'd like to meet Wilson.
Yes.
They're just around. Mm. It was pretty great.
That
sounds
pretty great.
It was a very happy place.
I feel like something like that would fly around here.
Yeah, I don't know.
Except people would steal the cats.
Yeah, other people would call it cruel to cats or something, even though it isn't.
It's the opposite of that.
I know.
Yep.
There are like pet stores there that would not fly.
Ooh.
In America.
Well, that pet store made me sad.
Yeah.
So Damon and I found this pet store, and we went in because there was this adorable French bulldog and this adorable Shiba Inu. And then it was just full of sadness. It was just the dirtiest, sketchiest place with the smallest little cages, and the owner was kind of being an asshole to this dog that was running around having a good time in the store.
Kim and I went to a pet store in Shinjuku. There was a monkey in there.
What?
Yeah. You could just buy a monkey for like, I think it worked out to like $4,000 or something.
Wow.
You can just walk in there and just walk out with a monkey.
And just get on the train with him?
why didn't you?
That's amazing.
You could have expensed that.
Oh my God.
I expensed this monkey.
By the way, Mitch, talk about your expense report. This is amazing.
So, did my expense report for Japan. Put in all my cabs and my meals and all my travel and all was well. Hit that submit button and my boss goes, I think there's something wrong with your expense report. It's $11 billion.
Yes.
Turns out
Tokyo's an expensive country.
Right.
I do not know what exchange rates are.
That's a lot of monkeys.
I put it in very wrong. So it ended up being like, oh, a dinner for Mitch and Damon cost $80 million. Cab ride, $40 million.
It was really nice though. It was really good ramen.
Yeah, $80
million. The best ramen you'll ever have, million bucks.
It's completely plausible. You don't know what's going on over there. They could be charging you any amount of money.
I think if you ate a bowl of gold, you would still not get to a fraction of that. You could shred it.
Have gold flakes, noodles.
Golden caviar.
Some platinum milk.
And then, so the other interesting thing that we did was we went to the Robot Girl Cafe. Which when we were walking around Shinjuku, you saw the ads for it.
I freaked out. And not even in the ad, we walked by the window and I was like, there it is!
Yeah.
That's the robot cafe.
So girls driving mechs, and the mechs are giant robot girls, right?
Yep.
So you've seen this? Have you seen the imagery of this?
It's mechs riding mechs?
No, girls ladies driving mechs.
Actual girls?
Yes.
Okay, I thought you said robot girls are driving mechs.
No,
robot girl is the mech.
Okay, I got it.
And then a woman sits on the front
and
drives
the end
around.
Of Alien.
Right.
Yeah. Got it. Exactly.
Yeah.
Except instead of like a loader, it's a lady.
Also, the girls probably aren't in their underwear.
No, the girls are in their underwear.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
So it really is
like the end of Alien. Yeah.
Okay.
So Kim and I went to this thing, and what it is, it's not really an open bar. It's a show that you buy tickets to.
Like Medieval Times?
Kind of.
But with robots and chicks?
Yeah.
God damn it, we need that.
I know.
Best country.
You buy tickets, they do several shows a night, they last about an hour, and then the robot, they come out, the girls, scantily clad Japanese girls come out and do these song and dance numbers. But then the mech part is just one number. It's like maybe 10 minutes of this overall show. So they're heavily advertising the mechs, but it's actually just a small part of the overall show.
Well, that's why you go, and they save the best for last, Damon.
Yeah, it
do
is.
Do the mechs like actually work? Like,
yes.
Tell me more.
They drive the women around.
Yes.
What's
so a girl
it?
Gets so
a
like,
woman.
It's a seat, right? And
this is a giant lady.
She has,
Damon is sitting as a giant woman.
She is moving the mech.
Really?
The mech, I think they don't really move their legs. I think they're on wheels, but they move around, and then the head can move, and then the mouth. It's really creepy because they're like, holy shit.
So it's like Krang?
And then there's a button to make the boobs go like this.
What?
It's just one button.
So mechs are real, first of all. This is the first thing that's blowing my mind. I didn't even know that was a real thing.
You thought
thing.
They were going to go the Gundam route? No. No, sexy ladies.
That's what I'm saying. So mechs are real. Someone invented these, and this is what they use them for.
Yes.
It's like not the military, not any right. sort of like, I don't know, like construction.
I kind of like the sound of this robotic post-apocalypse over the like Terminator one, yeah. where they're just, you get crushed by big boobies, and you're like, it's not that bad, but your family's dead. It's okay. I can see it's not a bad way to
if
go
If that's
out.
The way you got to go.
Die doing right. something you love.
So the show is $40. They serve you a bento box dinner, but the stuff in the bento box, I didn't eat it. I was like, man, I don't know what this is.
Bento boxes are kind of sketchy.
Well,
not into
be.
It.
You don't know.
Yeah. It just depends on what's in the box.
Sure.
I didn't know.
I guess it's sort of like when you get lunch at a strip club.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, that's kind of what it was like.
Exactly.
Except with robots.
And then you can buy beers too. And then they come out and do these song and dance numbers. And they had like an MC girl who was like the lead girl. And her voice wasn't that good. They really weren't that good at dancers. They were just sort of cute Japanese girls. And then they played drums. They did this marching band number, but they weren't very good at that either.
This sounds like the best thing I've ever
heard. I know! I was totally into it, and Kim was like, she was bored out of her mind.
Really?
Even though it was her idea to go in the first place. I didn't know what to expect. I thought it might be sketchy. Then once we got there, our roles reversed, and I was like, this is amazing! She was like, whatever, this is the dumbest thing we've ever done together.
It sounds a little bit like the Cat Circus, where like, it's not really that good of a show.
But you still love it. Right?
Yeah.
It's still amazing, yeah. even though it's not.
Sounds really like great. Chuck E. Cheese for adults.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
It lasts about an hour. I think it's totally worth it. Next time we'll go.
Okay.
Next time we go to Tokyo.
All right.
So it's good. Anyway, those are the adventures that we had in Japan. We
God damn it, Japan.
I know. It was pretty good. I don't know if you guys know this, but Japan is on the other side of the world.
What?
Like halfway around the world.
I thought it was under us.
It might as well be on another planet. They speak a different language there. They eat different food there.
Uh-huh. They look different.
They look different from us.
Racist.
So when you're over there, you're just not in touch with the reality of America at
sure.
all.
Mm-hmm.
You can miss anything.
The biggest news stories might slip by because of cultural divides.
Absolutely. So I just found out yesterday that LMFAO broke up.
I know. I apologize for not. Damon and I went for lunch, and you said, Justin, what did I miss while I was gone? And I was, telling him what was happening around the office and this and that, and I neglected to mention that LMFAO.
The biggest music story?
Obviously. Well, the biggest news story, period.
So you knew about
this.
Make you
feel? I did know.
And you also didn't tell me.
I follow Twitter. Well, I knew how hard you'd take it. Anytime an uncle and nephew band break up, Damon takes it extremely hard.
Are there any other uncle and nephew bands?
I'm sure there are.
I didn't even know they were an uncle and nephew band.
Yeah. The one of them is, like, super old.
Really?
I guess like 40 isn't super.
Don't they have songs about parties?
Yeah.
Do they have songs about how one of them breaks up the other guy's parties?
Yeah, Brian, you're only as old as you think you are.
That's what Greg told me that day. You're as old as you think you are.
Okay.
As the saying goes.
That's not true. Age is just math.
Brian, so you hadn't heard this either.
No.
And you weren't even in Japan.
No, I wasn't. I was right here.
This is how out of touch you are.
And yeah. Rap is the cornerstone of your music career.
It is.
You got to be taking this hard too.
I'm devastated.
In the pantheon of rappers, well-respected rappers, there's certainly Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
There's Tupac, and then there's LMFAO.
And then there's
right?
Son and Uncle from LMFAO. Top five, dead or alive, definitely.
Son and Uncle.
Yeah. Like, I'm just hoping this doesn't result in an East Coast West Coast rap beef where they kill each other.
What between the two?
With the son and the uncle.
Are they from different coasts?
I believe they are.
That's not
it's
true.
It's not the son and the uncle, it's the nephew and the uncle.
They're moving on to new, I'm
the,
excited
the nephew
about
is somebody's son. Everyone is.
Their solo projects are going to expand their musical horizons.
That'd be cool if they like, divide the country, though, and they win.
What if they divide the letters so that one of them gets LM and the other one gets F?
Well, they have to fight over the F, though.
Yeah.
Like, obviously one gets AO and one gets LM. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wait, but what if there's like a niece that we don't know about and she gets the F?
Okay.
She gets custody?
I hear niece loves getting the F.
I was surprised that I had not heard that.
This news made me legit sad for like an entire day.
No, you were just telling me that 10 to 15% of the time, that song, Party Rock Anthem, is it playing in your head.
I was saying if you had a superpower where you could see inside someone's mind and see what was going on in there, at least 10% of the time, it would be Party Rock Anthem in my head. I'm sitting at my desk. If you ever see me bobbing my head, there's a
That feels like some kind of jail. Like you created your own mental prison.
Or some disorder. I should really get that checked out.
Yeah.
Now, also before we came in here to record, Justin asked me a question that stumped me.
Okay.
I did not have the answer
to
it.
Do you think I do?
I think you're the one, you're my go-to guy.
Okay. So it's about food.
Why is coffee's nickname Joe?
Oh, a cup of Joe.
Get a cup of Joe.
I believe it's named after Joe the plumber from last presidential election. No, I don't think that's a good question.
I think it started with, like, it's like Java and then Joe.
I wonder if Java might have something to do with it.
Java Joe, like Java Johnson, John Java John, Jimmy Joe. Jeans. No.
Are you just saying names
now? Yeah, it's just like you say a name and then you say it a bunch of times and it changes a lot.
Jimmy Johns.
Java.
Like, if I called you Justin enough time, I would just start calling you Joe by the end of the day.
I call him JD now.
Yeah,
everyone should call him JD.
Nick Vargas calls me Justice Dolphin.
See, there you go.
Justice Dolphin.
Yeah.
That's that actually really good.
It's a tech fetish thing. We, I think Cup of Joe, we can look this up afterwards, but I think it has to do with the war when, like, Americans were over in World War II, and Americans like their coffee more, like, watered down. They like it cut with water, but in, like, Italy and other countries, they have the espresso, like, the stronger espresso, and Americans didn't like that. So if they were going to have, like, an Americano, then it's like, oh, a Cup of Joe, and a lot of the soldiers were Joe, and I think it became a thing from that. Mm. I could have just made that entire thing up.
I like that.
All right, we'll look it up.
Why did they start calling toilets Johns?
Well, that's because this is a true story.
Yeah.
It was John Crapper.
That's
the toilet. That's a true story. That's why it's the Crapper. That's why it's the John.
The old WC.
Yeah. Anybody read the books The Great Brain? They had a good one about getting the toilet.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. It was when you're a kid. Some smart.
Is that like a Scholastic book club thing?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Greg, I'm still a kid because you're only as old as you think you are.
It's true.
That's a good thing.
Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Hi, listeners.
Now, this is, remember.
I'm not dead yet.
Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com, just like Steve did. Now, more than one of our listeners, Steve and Kurt Taylor, they're upset about Bayonetta 2 and about it being a Wii U exclusive.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm,
yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Remember this news. Steve says, I'm confused about Platinum Games and Nintendo's strategy for Bayonetta 2. The original was for PS3 and 360. The sequel is Wii U only. Doesn't that completely divide the fan base?
Well, what it does, right, is it entices you, Steve. I don't know if I'm talking to Steve or Kurt. Entices you, Steve, to go buy the Wii U. You know, that's why you snatch up exclusives. Well,
it's Nintendo playing ball for one of the first times ever. You always think about Microsoft and Sony, you know, fighting it out over exclusives, and one system gets exclusive GTA, DLC, and yada yada and all that. And now Nintendo is saying, no, we can play this game too. They have a lot of money in the bank, and they're starting to spend it to lock up some of those exclusives.
But Bayonetta is not a system seller.
No, but it does fill a gap in
Nintendo.
Sure, I'm agreeing with Damon Hatfield that it's not a system seller.
Nintendo's obviously not going to come out with their own Bayonetta. Like, that's not something they're interested in doing. You know, their own first-party software is not going to be like that. So I think they're probably looking to third parties to fill some gaps, some M-rated gaps.
You think about this way, right? Like, if the audience that Bayonetta did... apply to that people were really excited for, right? When it came, don't give me the eyes.
What is that Bayonetta applies to?
I was noticing this last night in the presidential election that me and the president, Barack Obama, hit.
Yeah.
Him and I share the same thing where we got to get our wheels spinning. They're like, Mr. President, what do you think? And he'd be like, well, let me mention my
wife first.
And then he got going, though. He got on the right track. If you're, there you go. Nintendo, Japanese company. You're going to be putting out, you know, the games that people are all up in the arms
needs to
about
tell
not coming to Wii.
Shigeru Miyamoto that LMFAO broke up.
Get on.
They don't even know over there.
He's old. I don't know if
he's
he can handle that.
He's waiting for it to come through the Wii news feed.
The news is like on a boat making its way over there right now.
Anyways,
I think that's racist.
Bayonetta is a game that appeals to Japanese gamers. And so if you already are, you know, if those kind of games appeal to you, maybe you were already looking at the Wii U, you're already on the fence about the Wii U. I'm sure it's an exclusive that they could get cheap, too.
And hold on. Nintendo rescued this game. Like, Nintendo is putting this game out. This is not a thing people knew about. This is like, if I told you that I was...
rescued as much as they just made it, right? Or not made it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't... I didn't think it was supposed to happen.
Yeah, their money might be the reason this game's even happening.
Sure.
Yeah, so if you're mad at them, don't be, because they're the ones that made it happen. It's like saying I'm mad at the sequel I didn't even know was going to happen. Yeah. It's happening. And someone else is making it. Boo-hoo.
Nintendo tried this with the Wii. Mad World, another Platinum games that was exclusive to the Wii. They had Manhunt.
But Mad World forgot to have a number in the title.
Yeah, that was a problem. There is something to be said for that.
Yeah. It was also 4 hours long.
And black and white. S&M lady.
Yeah. It was fun.
That game was really strange. And then Kurt Taylor, his thoughts are... he says, I have a PS3. I bought Bayonetta. I loved it. I'm just confused why the sequel will be a Wii U exclusive. Is it that Platinum Games are developing the game for the next gen... But because the Wii U came out first, they're selling it as an exclusive there for now?
Yeah, I mean, it is true that if you own one console and you like the game a lot and it moves to a new console, like, you know, that kind of sucks. It's you got to spend a lot more money to continue enjoying that thing that you enjoyed the first time around. So that's a fair enough concern. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it's I'm just at the point now where I get all the video game consoles.
Yeah,
because
me too.
I like video games.
Well, you're a grown ass man.
Well, yeah,
you got a good job here.
Well,
you're
I mean,
paid off left and right to do these articles.
Oh, oh yeah. Sure, all the time. But I mean, I also feel like this is a hobby that has a kind of expensive entry point, and yep. You have to deal with that. And it's like if you don't like the fact that video games cost $60 and video game consoles cost $300, and you need to buy them to play video games, then you should probably make paper airplanes and throw them around your backyard because that's free.
That's your cheap option.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
It. You could have said several things, but that's the one you went for.
Play sports or something.
Yeah, there you go.
Throw a ball against a wall.
Use your imagination.
Do whatever you want. But
stick
I mean,
ball.
Yeah, don't complain that you need to buy a video game system to play video games because that's how this works.
Yeah, I agree.
Still a business. They don't owe you anything because they put it out there.
Yeah,
trying to make the money. Cold hard facts.
This is Michael Williams.
Okay, it's a good name.
He has a question about cross-buy.
Okay.
Do you have info on cross-buy?
I have some. I mean, as much as Sony's let out of the bag, yeah.
Have you heard any news about the cross-buy program for Vita? Can you get the games at retail, or does it have to be on PSN? Do you have to buy a PS3 version, or can you get the Vita version?
Yeah, he's asking a lot of specifics. There's been many an article out there from different sites, different people, trying to nail this down. The general understanding that we have at this moment is that, yes, you could buy... Well, basically, cross-buy, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know, things like Sly Cooper 4, Thieves in Time, or whatever, is, you know, you buy... Or PlayStation All-Stars, you buy one version of that game, you get the Vita version for free. They have, I believe, said that you can buy the Vita version and get the PS3 version for free. What it would be is there would be a redemption code inside the box, but since those games will be available digitally, there is talk that, yes, if you bought one off of the store, you'd get the other one off the store as well. But... In true Sony fashion, we'll have to wait till we're a little bit closer for them to actually nail it down. Similar to when the Vita was like, hey, here's the Vita. Oh, man, that's a really cheap price. Yeah, and then like 8 months later, oh, by the way, the memory card's really expensive. Yeah, that's
cool. It wasn't 8 months ago. Don't bother
leaving comments.
So now, like,
it's all wrapped up in that one price.
Are the saves transferring over on the
yes,
fly?
Saves
I mean, that's on the fly. Pretty much the best thing ever.
Yeah,
like,
it
that's,
really is.
That's amazing.
That's like, the promise of the Vita.
I don't own a Vita yet, but this makes me a lot more interested in one because it's like a little portable PlayStation.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it's a portable PlayStation, but I mean like a proper...
No, I totally get what you're saying. It's like when, you know, this is, you know, a brainless decision that you'd think like anybody would make it. Bonehead moves not to do it, right? But like the fact that you can't do it with Madden, the fact that if you buy Madden, it's a different experience on the, you know, Vita, and you can't transfer your save back and forth. And it's like, how many times have I've been, like, since Borderlands came out, fell in love with Borderlands 2, been playing the balls off it, and it's one of those things, all of a sudden I was traveling, I was doing this,
really
I had appointments,
good.
I had friends in town, all these things were happening, and all I wanted was that ability, yeah, to beam a save down to a thing and keep going,
beam it!
See, like, now Nintendo's working on the next Smash Brothers, it's gonna come out in 3DS and Wii U on the same day, and I bet you $1 million they won't even attempt anything like this.
Yeah.
They'll just be like, nah, forget it. We'll let the game that rips us off do it better than us.
And it's an interesting thing, right, of like, why didn't they have this ready to go at launch?
Yeah.
Why isn't this
It felt like, from the outside, from like a marketing perspective, that's what it looked like we were seeing in all the commercials.
Sure.
People playing MLB on the train.
Well, MLB is the exception.
Okay.
MLB could do it. It was the first
And that was the
game.
Only game that could do it, right?
Yeah, and it wasn't cross-buy. It was that you had to buy both versions of the game.
Right.
Which
right.
sucks and is a huge barrier to entry.
Yeah.
There's been talk of a PS3 Vita bundle.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it needs, right? Like, it's one of those things where the Vita's really cool. I really do like the Vita. But, like, I was flying, and I packed it with me out of, like, you know, habit. And on the plane, I pulled it out and turned it on. I'm like, there's nothing I want to play on this. Put it away, pulled out the iPad, and went to reading comics.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's like one of those things, like, they should have done this right away and had games that were cross-buy ready to go. And like, now it's one of those things where it's similar to the PSP, right? Where PSP came out. It had a good launch lineup, and everybody's like, there's no games for this thing. This thing's failing. And then the
six-year tailspin,
quoted Craig Harris, Sega. and it was GameCube at the time. But it's one of those things, now they've got to try to overcome that. So even when they start doing this, and Sly Cooper goes back and forth, and PlayStation All-Stars goes back and forth, and you know whatever X, Y, and Z game go back and forth, it's still this thing that they're going to have this hurdle to get over.
This is always the plight of the early adopter, though.
Sure.
And I mean, I still get systems. Like I bought a 3DS on launch day, and I was playing Pilot Wings
for an
afternoon, and I was like, well, got nothing. Back to my iPhone.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a couple months later, they redesigned it. A bunch of more games came out. I play it more often now.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're sitting there for 6 months going, like, what the hell did I do?
And see, it just seems like it's further than that even for the Vita in this case, right? Because you figure Assassin's Creed Liberation comes out, and that looks like a great game, and I'm really excited for it. However, it comes out day and date with Assassin's Creed 3, and it doesn't have any kind of save transfer. Oh, I might do something like, you know, Bloodlines transferred
unlock
over.
Unlock some
But
stuff.
Unlock, it's not continuing the story on the go or whatever. Whereas if I'm thinking about it, I put Liberation out 3 weeks before and get you psyched up for Assassin's Creed 3 and give you some kind of unlock bonus that, you get for doing it here. And same thing with Call of Duty Black Ops Declassified, right? Like,
It's not Black Ops 2.
No, and they're not communicating with each other at all.
Exactly. There's no way to move that down and forth.
It feels weird to me to be playing Assassin's Creed 3 on my big television and then pause it to have like a much smaller experience with a completely separate game.
Yeah.
That's a different storyline and everything like that. And they're not really communicating with each other.
It's one of those things too that I mean, like, you know, we take it for granted that we are money hats and get paid for our reviews and stuff. Mm-hmm. But a normal person can't afford to go into GameStop and be like, here's $60 for Assassin's Creed 3, and here's whatever it is, $50. I'm not sure on it for Liberation. Mm-hmm. And there is a digital bundle right now through PSN. You can get it for, you know, you can get it at $120 to get the gold edition Assassin's Creed 3 and Liberation all at once. But still, it's like, man. That's a lot of money, but
that's part of the reason why they do develop an entirely separate game is to justify that, you know, $50.
Sure.
You know, it's like I think they know that Assassin's Creed 3 is going to sell itself. I mean, they're doing a tremendous amount of marketing, but that game is going to sell bananas no matter what. But Liberation is sort of the big question mark.
Yeah.
And so they really want to, like, if it were like Assassin's Creed 3, but on Vita, like, maybe that would be harder. It wouldn't make as much money. People aren't going to be interested in buying that as much. So they do this entire separate story, new voice acting, new city.
I love the fact that it's its own thing. That it's its own story.
Me too. It looks fantastic.
I just think it's silly to put it out and compete against yourself.
Why are
you putting it out on the same day to compete against yourself?
Well, I mean, this is Ubisoft though. I mean, like they put out like three of their flagship games on the same day last year just for themselves. Like they put Rayman up against Assassin's Creed last year.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. They've traditionally done that. That's part of the reason that way back, like Beyond Good and Evil, some people think that game bombed a little bit because it launched the same day as Prince of Persia.
Yeah, it was absolutely sent to die.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I remember it was discounted like weeks later, and Prince of Persia wasn't. It was still selling well.
Of course, the counter argument, right, is that Vita install base is so small, it's the hardcore gamer who's going to buy it.
That's such a bullshit chicken and egg thing, because it's like the Vita could do better if more games like this came to it.
Oh no, totally.
If more games came to it, then it would do. It's just like this big vicious circle.
When I went to preview Madden for the first time, they showed off Vita, and we asked them, "Oh, do the saves go back and forth for this?" And he's like, "No, sorry, you know, we're doing so much with connected careers this year that we couldn't make it work on Vita." And it was like, okay, well, will you do it next year? And they're like, well, we'll see how the Vita version
does.
No one's going to buy the Vita version because you're not doing what you want, and then you're not going to be able to do what you want because nobody bought the Vita version.
Exactly. Everybody's a buck passer. That's the whole thing. It was like the other night, I was sleeping in bed with my girlfriend, and we heard a gunshot.
He was.
Yeah. We heard a gunshot. It wasn't not that kind. And we heard a gunshot, and she was like, should we call the cops? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, well, somebody else might. And then we had this debate, and it was just like, I bet you six people just had this exact same conversation. Yeah, yeah. We're like, no, he'll call the cops next door. And he's like, he'll call the cops next door. Nobody calls the fucking cops.
No.
So I called the cops.
Someone's dying outside.
He did?
Yeah, so I called the cops. They never showed up, because we're in San Francisco. There's only five cops in the whole city.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, that's what people need to do on the Vita. People need to call the fucking cops.
Not emergency number.
Don't actually call 911. Don't make Vita games. I have an emergency. There's no games for my Vita.
I don't know why. My man is. I can't take my Bengals career on the road.
A Vita PS3 bundle would be very cool. To my knowledge, there's never been a bundle like that with a console and a portable that were bundled together.
Yeah, surprising Nintendo never did that.
Yeah, with the DS and a Wii together.
Well, they always kept their stuff pretty much separate. They even called them pillars and stuff like that.
That's true.
This is Vince Morello. He says, in one of my classes, a student performing an oral claimed claimed that video games cause depression. My question is, do you think it's true? Why or why not?
Well, we all know Anthony Gallegos, so we got a problem right there.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I would like
to cause depression?
I know, see, you're not providing the
context. What his argument
was? Your oral friend's, what was his... Yeah.
It's like anything else, right? Like, I wrote a big essay on IGN maybe a month or two ago about how, you know, if you're not feeling good about your life, you can sort of retreat into the world of video games and not face your problems.
For sure.
Like,
yeah, I love that piece.
It's like anything else, that you can treat it negatively and go too far with it and sort of not, you know, retreat into these virtual worlds instead of dealing with the real world. You know, and you can do the same thing with alcohol, you can do the same thing with anything, but it doesn't cause it. I mean, it's a chemical imbalance in your brain, you know? I mean, yeah.
I've played games all my life, and I'm a pretty happy guy.
Games are supposed to be fun. It's in the name.
I mean,
right?
Yeah, games play with your emotions or whatever, right? Yeah. Like, I definitely know that there's people who, like, end a game, like, you're sad that it ended the way it did or whatever, and, you know,
I don't know what his oral argument is. The Lord of the Rings trilogy is over, and we don't have a new movie to
I mean, I think if someone's
I'm
feeling...
I'm Paranormal Activity 4, if you know what I'm saying. Throwing down.
All over. All up in. I mean, it's like... The video games can make you feel isolated. You're in your bedroom playing a game by yourself instead of out hanging out with friends. I mean, that can totally exacerbate a problem that's already there, I think. You know, people need to understand.
I don't think they're the cause. I think they might just
there's something else going on there.
Yeah. You need to think about, like, if you want to play a game, if people are like, let's say there's a party going on the weekend and you'd rather stay home and play games, like, why? Like, what's going on in your head that's, like, causing that behavior?
What if Party Rock is in the house tonight?
That's true.
Maybe,
never forget!
Maybe play better games, too.
If they're depressing you?
If you're playing some shitty games that depress you, play a better one.
Yeah, I wish this Madden career connected to the other Madden.
Just stop playing Vanquish.
Hello, 911.
Still talking smack on Vanquish. Yeah. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Viewers and listeners, that's all the scoops we have for you this week. Remember, you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com. My name is Damon Hatfield. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.